Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, September 6th. I'm Alan Shartok. Hillary Clinton says she's feeling good after last night's debate and is looking forward to the next two matchups with Donald Trump. The Democratic presidential candidate said the debate showed clear differences between the candidates' temperaments and qualifications for the presidency. House Speaker Paul Ryan is praising Donald Trump's debate performance, saying he showed that he can go toe-to-toe with Hillary Clinton. Ryan said Trump gave a unique Donald Trump response to the status quo. How did you score last night's debate? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Be nice to hear from some of the Trump people, too. Everybody's welcome here, 1-800-348-2551. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WNC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Shartok. Overnight ratings indicate that last night's presidential debate between Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump was one of the biggest television events of the year. I saw it and I forgot it, something like 80% or, 80,000. Hillary Clinton said the debate showed clear differences between the candidates' temperaments and qualifications for the presidency. Clinton said her Republican rival cast the country in dire and dark terms, and that's not who America is. House Speaker Paul Ryan is praising Donald Trump's debate performance, but some other House Republicans voiced some disappointment over Trump's performance. Some said there were missed opportunities to attack Clinton over her family foundation and other issues that didn't come up in the debate. Congressman Bill Flores of Texas says Trump wasn't quite as consistent as he would have liked to have him been. Let's hear your thoughts about the debate. There are two people on the phone already, and it's going to be an awful lot of people if this morning's first hour of Roundtable is any example. We got maybe 1,000 people on there. So if you want to have your say, this is it. I want to encourage everyone to call in, and that includes anybody of the Trump persuasion. All right, let's start out with Emily in Ulster County. All right, Emily, you're on. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that I'm really grateful I was able to listen to the debate over the radio because I didn't have a chance to watch it on TV. I'm also not a fan of either of them, and I would like to see none of the above on the ballot, even though it's not there. But if I have to make a comment, because I did listen really carefully, I really feel that Donald Trump is embarrassing. And I think he's very immature. He's very defensive. He sounded to me like his defensiveness sounded to me like he was trying to convince the high school teacher why he didn't do his homework last night. That's how embarrassingly defensive he is. And I can't figure out for the life of me how he got as far as he got. And I think people project onto him just ways of being that I think he's not. And I'm very embarrassed that Donald Trump is even a candidate.
So Emily, let me ask you a question. Would you describe yourself honestly now, looking into the crystal ball, as a normal Democratic voter or more likely a Republican voter?
Oh, I'm much more a Democratic voter, but I don't dislike him because I'm a Democratic voter.
No. That's not my question. So my question then would be, you realize that by saying you would not vote for Hillary Clinton, I think that's what you said, that in fact, that really is a Trump vote because that's what he's looking for.
Well, I didn't say that I wouldn't vote for her.
I see.
I would, since I'm not a fan of either of them, I would prefer in the deepest part of my heart not to have to vote for either of them.
Sure.
But I realize that a not vote for her is a vote for him.
Yeah.
So I would vote for her because she's not him. So I would certainly go out and bother to vote, although I don't really want to. I would, because I couldn't possibly imagine what he would do to this planet. I think he's such a horrible candidate. So I would definitely vote for her. I would go out, even though I don't particularly like her. I would, because she's not him.
Well, you know, he kept coming back to law and order, law and order, law and order. Does that impress you?
I don't think he really knows his position on things, and he lies so much and changes his positions from moment to moment throughout the year with everything he says. So the law and order thing, there wasn't any place in the evening where he said something that was intellectual or smart or knowledgeable or wise. So it didn't matter what he said. He didn't hit upon the issue anyway. He skirted all the questions. He gave the answers that he wanted to give, which didn't answer the questions. And then he also jumped in and made the moderator shut up. I was more impressed by the moderator. He really did a good job of balancing where to jump in and where to let Donald do his thing, and I was really impressed that he was so patient with Donald.
And Emily, I agree with you about the moderator. I had a fight with Rosemary about that very thing this morning, but I thought he did a very good job. Emily, thanks for starting us off. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to George in Stamford, New York. George is on the second line. Okay, you're up, George.
Hi, yes, thank you. I watched the debate in its entirety, and when they were talking about homegrown terrorists and how to deal with it, I thought it was striking after having taken Alan's advice and gone out and watched the movie Snowden, that both of the candidates seemed to be advocating broad, sweeping intelligence gathering in the United States, exactly the thing that the NSA was doing. And Snowden pointed it out. Of course, he was a critic of it. And people, some people consider him a traitor. Certainly he broke the law. But nevertheless, we were doing that in this country against Americans, or I shouldn't have said against. We were doing trolling through Americans' communication. And I'm just pointing out that these two candidates mentioned that that would be the one way of finding out whether we had to fear any homegrown terrorists. And another thing occurred to me during while I was waiting, and that is that if we know, you know, talk about change, Americans always talk about change, of course, so did Barack Obama. But when Donald Trump talks about change, just remember history. The 1917 revolution in Russia as well, which became the Soviet Union, the Cuban Revolution, the Iranian Revolution, which I partly lived through. People are not always happy with what happens when you rock the boat. And I am an independent. I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
You are.
Because stability is very, very important, and you need someone with her intellect and track record.
George, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it very much. All right. Now we're going to go to David in New Paltz. By the way, if you want to get in right now after David, I don't see any other calls on the thing. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to David. All right, David, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Have a great day. I'm a Democrat. I was all my relatives are Democrats, and I have to say that Donald does resonate with me, because the United States government has to be run like a business. I think that when you start spending $500 for a toilet seat or $200 for a hammer, and 2 cents on every dollar that's collected in taxes goes to a program that it's earmarked for, and when out of three people, one of them works for the government in the United States, whether it's local or state or federal or a program of that sort. So I think that we have to get down to business.
But what makes you think that Donald Trump is going to change how much the toilet seat costs? Sounds to me like he's a guy who has involved himself in certain business chicanery up until now. What gives you that faith?
Well, he's making an effort to try to make the government more efficient.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Well, you're right. I don't know it, but it's the direction that the government has to go in, because after all, we're paying so much in taxes that it just goes up and up and up, and the lobbies are getting more and more.
All true.
And we're all going to be, top heavy, and eventually it falls.
David, we got to take a break. I thank you for your call. I really appreciate the fact that you called, that you're for Trump, and that you said so. Appreciate that very much. Okay. All right. 1-800-348-2551. The phones are jumping off the hook right now. We'll take a very short break, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, beginning their 32nd season with Shrek the Musical. Weekends, October 15th through 30th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Curtis Lumber, specializing in deck and dock design, featuring Trex composite decking and railings, PlayStar dock hardware, and more. Design consultation available, curtislumber.com. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, featuring Deck 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley, where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, plastic surgery dedicated to cosmetic surgery, laser treatments, and minimally invasive facial rejuvenation since 1996, a surgeon's hands, a woman's touch, 518-786-1700. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/tang.
And we are back, and we thank you so much, everybody, for your calls. All of a sudden, boom, shazam, the skies have opened up. Let's go to Dylan in Albany. All right, Dylan, you're on.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning, or good afternoon, rather.
How you doing? 19,
so it's considered afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to give my input on the debate last night. I was actually quite impartial going in. I listened on NPR last night. I was quite impartial about both candidates going into it. And after, you know, listening to Donald Trump kind of spew information, well, lack of information, rather, I kind of saw like a halo over Hillary's head. It kind of widened my horizons a little bit, and it made me realize how much of a better candidate I think Hillary Clinton is over Donald Trump.
Is there anything in particular that you liked about what Hillary said or that you didn't like about what Trump said?
It's more or less, I didn't like what Trump was saying. I liked the whole conversation they had on temperament. It seemed as if Hillary Clinton kept very even-keeled throughout the whole debate. It seemed like Donald Trump kind of had the temperament of an adolescent. He seemed like he was a little hot off the bat. He was kind of, it didn't seem very presidential to me, if you will.
Okay, Dylan, I thank you so much. There are a lot of people behind you. We really appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Diana. Oh, Diana, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The main thing that I wanted to say about the debate is that it seemed like the candidates were doing two different things. One was engaged in a contest of marketing and the ability to sell himself like a commercial. And Hillary was, well, the Hermione Granger of the group, prepared for a debate, shooting her hand into the air at all costs. And when you have two people who show up to the same event and then proceed to act as though they are fundamentally different events, that they're there for completely different purposes, it's really hard to declare a winner, right, when the stakes of the game aren't laid out equally for both contenders. So my biggest fear is that any Trump supporter saw what they wanted to see and any Clinton supporter saw what they wanted to see last night.
Yep.
And I don't think anybody's minds will really change.
I think you're wrong. And respectfully, Diana, I think you're wrong. I think it isn't the dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters, and it isn't the dyed-in-the-wool Hillary supporters. It's the people who are marginal who say, as our last caller did, that they walk into an election or to a debate with an open mind, and then get pulled one way or the other. That's what they're after. That's why Donald Trump, for example, is always sort of mouthing what I would call platitudes towards his potential black voters. He doesn't want all black voters. He wants 2% of them in order to win this election. So he makes up stuff that he's been making up. But I think these debates are frightfully important.
I think the debates as an idea are important. I think that we do need to see our candidates exchange their ideas publicly before an audience with a moderator. The question is, can anybody get Trump on that platform so that that's what he's doing instead of essentially engaging in a 90-minute repetitive marketing-style commercial for himself?
But don't you see that that's what they're going to say about Hillary also? Now, look, I'm a Hillary fan. There's no question about it. On the other hand, both of them have strategies. They both have people who are working with them day and night to come up with one-liners and everything else during the campaign. But anyway, Diana, I appreciate your perspective. Believe me, I do. And if I give you any hard time at all.
I'll say one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
One more thing, which is that I think had the moderator the ability to cut off their microphones, we would have seen a radically different debate.
Yeah, well, there have been lots of calls for that the moderator could call, turn off the microphone, or that everybody could have a little electric pad underneath them. They get a mild shock the first lie that they tell, and after that gets worse. Diana, thank you very much. Let's go to DeWitt, I think. Yes, DeWitt's been waiting the longest, and so DeWitt goes on line number 3. Okay, DeWitt, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
All right.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to interject something, and this isn't necessarily geared towards the debate, but, you know, from the very beginning here, I've listened to your opinion in regards to Donald Trump and pro-Hillary Clinton, and I just wanted to interject something here that I think as a news a service that provides news to the public, your personal slant on any particular candidate for president should be left out of this. I think that your opinions here should be bipartisan and unbiased. And, you know, I think as a person, you should just kind of leave your opinion out of this and just provide the news.
Okay, now, DeWitt, let me answer you and say that I have a different take on this. You may be right. You may be right. But my take on this is that every single person you ever hear on the radio or the television in a newspaper has a bias, and that they should announce that bias. I think it's extremely important that you know what you're getting and from whom you're getting it. So that's where we differ.
I agree that, you know, there's no question as to whether a particular news organization is slanted towards a particular thing, but I've always had more respect for NPR than to take a position.
Okay, now I get calls about NPR every day about how namby-pamby they are, how phony they are. I mean, I'm not saying they are. I'm just simply saying there are people who have opinions contrary to yours.
Well, okay, Ben, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Right.
But, you know, as a news service that, you know, I think that you guys are head and shoulders above the rest. I listen to you every day when I can. And I have a lot of respect generally for what you guys are trying to do here. I think that you could maybe elevate yourself a little more by not being so biased towards one candidate or the other. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to say one good thing about a candidate, at least try to interject something good about another candidate, because not all candidates are just good or bad.
I hear you. I hear you, and I respect your call. I just want you to know that you have a different opinion than I do, right? And you are on the phone right now giving yours. There aren't many NPR type stations that do this kind of thing. We do it in the morning. We have your perspective when people write in, and we're very careful to make sure that all contrasting opinions to what may be on a panel, for example, are given. And the same thing now, which is why I want to thank you for calling, DeWitt. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Have a good day, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Right. Okay. And now we'll go to Bethany on line number 4. Bethany, you're on.
How are you? I watched the debates last night with my in-laws.
Oh.
And they were undecided, and they are both voting for Trump.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
They have decided that they thought that even though Hillary is more even-keeled and has more experience, they just feel that the country needs a shake-up. They feel that she is carrying baggage from Whitewater that can never be erased. and they're willing to push the button for Trump.
They're willing to take what comes.
Well, they think that he'll do something about the economy.
Yeah. Well,
now, these are people in their 70s. They've had a lot of political elections. They're fairly conservative, but they were really on the fence. We had many discussions, and they said they can't vote for somebody who's who's been in so much trouble, especially with Whitewater and the Monica Lewinsky case.
Okay, well, she wasn't the Monica Lewinsky
case. Doesn't matter. Guilt by association.
Well, okay, so that brings me, now we know what your in-laws have to say. Let's now talk about what you have to say.
I was gobsmacked. I really thought that we would all get together, and then they would somehow see that even though they did not care for the woman, that she was eminently qualified to be president. I couldn't believe it. I'm still in a state of shock. I'm still in a state of shock over this. We talked about the racism, about a lot of things afterwards, and they claim that they don't think he's racist. He's just going along with what his generation, how they treated blacks, which really wasn't racism. It was just the way they were raised. I mean, they were any excuse. There were a number of excuses why they're going to vote for him.
Just remember, a son is a son till he takes him a wife, and a daughter is a daughter for the rest of her life.
Oh, they're my in-laws, so I don't have to worry about them.
That's the point.
My in-laws are not my right.
That's the point.
Well, my husband was gobsmacked too. Okay. He's also still in a state of shock.
That's why my poem is so relevant.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
But I just want. Bye now.
Bye bye. Okay, so now I'm looking here. Okay, so now it's Robin in Monterey, Massachusetts. All right, Robin, you're on.
Hi. I'm a former Bernie supporter, was a very avid Bernie supporter. I'm urging everybody to go out and vote for Hillary en masse because there is a clear choice here, and the choice is between a fascist who's also an ignoramus versus the status quo, and I'll go for the status quo and keep my kids alive and keep the world alive. He is a very dangerous man.
Where do you find the danger, Robin?
Where?
Yes.
Go ahead. He's an ignoramus. He doesn't seem to have a grasp of the facts of anything. His xenophobia, his racist remarks, it's just disgusting. Not to mention that I don't understand how people let him get away with not showing his taxes and admitting he didn't pay any. I mean, this is criminal. Why isn't this man being investigated? It's scary that this man is candidate for the presidency.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate your call. We just have so many people. I want to try to get to everybody.
Hope everybody gets out and votes for Hillary.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Okay, we'll go to Mark in Albany. All right, Mark, you're on.
Hi. Just want to let you know I'm a Democrat supporter of Hillary, and I'm watching these debates, you know, hoping that they'll work for Hillary. And I guess I was really not very pleased with the first 30 minutes because I thought Donald Trump did a really good job saying about all these jobs is fleeing forever and the worst ever trade agreement ever that her husband did and that she supported. You know, while I don't agree with him on that, and I wish there was a decent defense put up for global trade, she had nothing. And about the only thing she could say was, gosh, well, you know, implicitly she said, you know, I used to think that trade was okay, but I don't anymore, and I'm against all these things now, and sorry for all the mistakes.
Okay,
a lot of folks.
You know, I got it. Okay, but wait, here's the question that I would ask you, and that is, this is about winning elections, right? I mean, you got to win the election. She knows that he's on to this business about NAFTA, you know, and all the others, and that it is drawing a lot of people's attention. Even though she's had to switch her position, would you rather that she didn't switch her position and lost the election?
Well, no, I don't want her to lose the election. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to explain to you.
She doesn't have any good defense, but I thought
I'm
he did a good job in front of lots of Americans of making a point that a lot of Americans are going to agree with him.
Which is why
I don't, but a lot of them will.
Which is why she did it. Hey, listen, I appreciate your call. It's terrific. I appreciate it again. All right, let's go to Ray Graff's favorite person, Eli in Utica. Eli, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Earlier caller and a lot of pro-Trump people are voting for him because of his business acumen. Forbes magazine had a really good article where they dissected that. They simply took his inheritance from his father, and they placed it in a plain, ordinary, vanilla stock index fund. And come to find out, if he had just done that, he would be worth over $8 billion. A lot of people are questioning his present wealth. They have it at $4 billion. I personally think it's closer to $1 billion. The experts believe in think it's about $1 billion. So if you look at that simply, what kind of a businessman is he? He's basically frittered away his inheritance. He should be worth $8 billion if he did simply what every Tom, Dick, and Harry can do, invest in a plain vanilla.
Okay, Eli. Eli, I got it. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling. All right. It's now 2:34. We got to be taking a little break in about 5 minutes. So let's go to David in Del Mar. Okay, David in Del Mar, you're on, sir.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm amazed that Trump had the audacity to say that paying no taxes is smart. I mean, I'm retired and I paid over $20,000 in taxes last year. Does that make me a stupid person? Or am I investing in a country and a state that I love? Trump is looking to be a president of a country he's not even investing in.
And you feel con, don't you? I mean, we pay a lot of money, the Shark Talks. We both work and have worked. And you pay about a third, right, of your income? Isn't that what
exactly.
we people do? So so that, you know, you really feel like a schmegeggy. You really feel like somebody has done you in and is laughing at you.
But to suggest that people are stupid to pay taxes, I don't know where he's getting that logic. The other thing I'm amazed at, that he basically dismissed the firing on an Iranian ship would not cause a war. I mean, is he a student of history? Does he remember the Maine and all that other stuff, all the other Tonkin Gulf issues? I mean, it's amazing he can just be so dismissive of things like that.
Okay.
Scary.
David, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Suzanne in Scroon Lake. All right, Suzanne, you're on.
Hey there, Alan.
Hey.
Hi. People were talking about how excellent he was in the first half hour, but I didn't think so. I thought he was his usual ranting, ridiculous self in that first half hour, and then it got worse. But the main thing I wanted to mention is that he's 40 years behind the times. I mean, Law and Order, you'll remember this, we're the same generation, was big in the Nixon era. I mean, that's an old-fashioned phrase.
But Nixon got elected president. I want to point that out to you. And
there were other things going on at the time. But the whole idea of returning to 40 years ago, that includes the position of women and the position of blacks. I mean, everybody was much quieter 40, 50 years ago because they were all mostly pushed down.
But don't you think, Suzanne, it's all about the way that he manipulates and is counting on the white middle class male to come out and vote for him in large numbers?
Yeah, I don't know about middle class. I mean, most of the middle class males I know better than that.
Where do you live? In Scroon Lake?
Up here in Scroon Lake,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well.
And by the way, there are plenty of Trump people up here, too, I'm sure.
I
just don't
happen
to know them.
I bet there are.
But the other thing is, nobody seems to notice that he says just anything to get through the next 4 seconds.
Which is the way he won all those debates against the other Republicans.
Well,
and
it
worked.
Finally, I mean, the young man that called in before complaining about NPR being too biased.
No.
I am really happy that NPR, along with other news outlets now, are actually calling a lie a lie. A lie is a lie. No two ways about it.
Yeah, well, that's true. And the the media is filled this morning with all of the lies, calling them out.
Well,
on,
good.
All,
I haven't
all,
been following it, but good. I'm glad to hear it, and that'll continue. We've got a while yet before the election, and I think this is going to make a big difference.
But to correct,
thank you very much.
But to correct the record, let me just say he wasn't that mad at NPR. He was more mad at me. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.
He wasn't so happy with NPR either.
Okay. Thanks, Suzanne.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We are going to take a short break. We will be right back. We got Julian and Ellen and Peter and Sergio and Brian and Donna and Bill. They're all waiting.
Support for WAMC comes from the Black Sheep at Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available. Skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. Stammel String Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie. Providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows. Restorations and appraisals. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Stammelstring.com. And Poughkeepsie Farm Project's 9th Annual Soup Bowl, a celebration of local soups, music, and community on Sunday, October 16th, farmproject.org.
And we are back, and we got a lot of people to talk to. All right. Holding on for quite a while is Julian in Red Hook. All right, Julian, your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alan. First of all, thanks for using the word schmageggy on the air. I appreciate that. But I'd like to say, I guess you could consider me a millennial. I'm in my 20s, and I was a fervent Bernie supporter when there was a Democratic runoff. And I've had a lot of doubts about Hillary Clinton, but watching that debate last night, you could see that this is a woman who has everything that fits the bill to be presidential and to be a president. And I guess I'm making a plea to, you know, my fellow young people that, knowing how our two-party system works, that they could think to throw their vote away by voting for a third-party candidate and throw our country into the gutter. Makes me actually sick to my stomach. And so that's kind of my stance, and I thought that she did excellently in the debate.
Julian, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's go now to Ellen in Kingston. All right, Ellen, your turn.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, okay. I'm a little concerned about the outcome of all of this. You know, it's got me right in my kishkas.
Well, I watched it last night, and my husband wouldn't even take the time. He said, tape it. I'm going to bed. I'll look at it tomorrow. My thing is that when Mr. Trump talks, he feeds fear that people have. And some of the fears are valid, but if you listen to him, the whole country is going up in smoke. And he plays on that fear. And his performance last night should have frightened the living daylights out of most people. This man is running for president. He doesn't, not only doesn't he tell the truth, he likes to perpetuate all the lies and drop them in somebody else's lap. I mean, if he could have attributed the biblical flood to Barack Obama last night, he would have done it.
You know, that's very interesting you say that, because I would have liked to see Hillary defending the Obama legacy. Obama is very popular in this country. And, you know, it was almost, you know, as he would go after, Obama, I would have liked to see more from Hillary on defense of Obama. Are you there? Ellen? Uh-oh.
No, I just dialed and I heard you talking.
Well, you know, something happened. Who are you? What's your name?
Mike from Saratoga Springs.
What's your name, Mike? Okay, Mike, yes. have your say. Go ahead.
I was just listening to people saying that Trump's going to do something to improve the economy. in 2008, when Obama got elected, we were at the worst depression since 1928, and all economic indicators are far better now than they were in 2008.
And I faulted her, by the way, Mike, I faulted her for that too, because I don't think she... I don't think she used all the stats that are available to show how much better off we are right now.
But the unemployment's under 5%.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I got to let you go, even though you snuck in. Thanks a lot. Okay. Now, let's go to Sergio. All right, Sergio, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I do have to take a little bit of umbrage with the gentleman who got a little bit after you about, you know, your positions. I think that if more people at the beginning of this entire process were more like you, then Donald Trump wouldn't even be here. You know, when Donald Trump first came out and he was spewing everything he was spewing during the Republican primaries, there was not one person in the media that was holding him accountable for what he was saying. You know, nobody asked him, how are you going to repatriate trillions of dollars that corporations have parked offshore? How are you going to do that? And unfortunately, I think we saw the same thing again last night. Donald Trump is allowed to ramble and ramble and ramble and ramble, and nobody says, hold on a second. Can you explain how? And to Lester Holt's credit, he did ask the questions, and then Donald Trump would go off on some tangent, and Lester Holt never said, excuse me, Mr. Trump, you didn't answer the question.
Okay, no, actually he did. But let's assume that he did his best. I think he did. I thought he did a really good job. But let's assume that he did ask him. But and that's why we have debates, so that, you know, you have him on one side, you have Hillary on the other side, and they point out all these foibles. I don't see how you could stop them from lying, how you can stop him from lying in particular.
Well, I think that, you know, yes, that does fall on Hillary Clinton. For example, the repatriation. That was done before, back, I think it was like in the 1980s, where there was this one-time tax relief for corporations to bring that money back into this country, and not one corporation invested a dime in this country. It was all for stock dividend payouts and for compensation for CEOs. And if anybody looks at the history of that, Donald Trump is proposing the same exact thing. And nobody's calling him on that. There is a history of that. If you want to give these corporations a tax holiday, they're not going to invest in this country.
Well,
they're going to be paying. They're going to be paying out stock dividends. They're going to be using it just the way they used it when this was done before.
Don't you think Bill Clinton has something to say about all of that? Don't you think he bears some of the responsibility?
I think he has. Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just saying, if we're going to do this repatriation of these funds, we have to look back at what happened the last time that we did that, and no money went to building up the middle class. No money went into infrastructure. There is a history of that.
Okay.
And this is also, it falls into like the trickle down economics once again.
Indeed.
Here we are again.
She called him on that. She called him on that. Sergio, got to let you go. Okay, let's go to Brian in Tivoli. All right, Brian in Tivoli. You're on. Go, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dr. Sartak. First of all, thank you for extending roundtable another 30 minutes. It's great.
Oh, I thank you for saying that, because, you know, there's some dissonance on that question. We had many, many letters congratulating us. We had one person who was not happy. Go ahead.
I'm very happy. Let me get to my question. I think Donald Trump did not do very well last night. I think Secretary Clinton outshined him and did look presidential. My question to you is, do you think that Ryan Priebus and the others in Republican leadership are nervous following last night's performance? And do you think that Conway will now be forcing Trump to really rehearse and really take this seriously?
Well, if you're asking my opinion, I think they all have to be nervous for two reasons. Number one, they don't like him. The Republican establishment doesn't like him. So on the one hand, he may win, and they don't like that. On the other hand, he may lose and wipe them all out, including their senators and others who, you know, who are sort of depending on maintaining their positions in the political infrastructure.
Sure.
So I think they've got a tough problem here. I wouldn't want to be them.
No, not at all. And how much involvement do you think Bill Clinton had with the debate prep with Secretary Clinton?
I don't know. I have no idea what goes on between those two people.
Right.
I really don't. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go then to, I think that was, oh, yeah, that should be number five. Brian in Tivoli. He's not there anymore. He's gone now. Okay. Now we're going to go to Donna in Falls Village, Connecticut. Donna, you're on.
Hello?
Hey, you're on.
Hi, how are you doing? And I'm actually an American living abroad in Canada, but we maintain a house here still. So I'm in Falls Village, and okay. We're very happy to always listen to you, and we donate to you, even though we come here for only a month every year.
It's worth it.
It's worth it, and it's really nice living in Canada. And I tell you, to hear Canadians talk about this, it's on their lips constantly, you know, about what's happening in America. But I just want to give you my view on last night. I thought that Hillary was extremely well composed and prepared. I thought Donald, you know, really showed his true colors as being totally belligerent and unprepared and bullish. And I thought he was great. I thought he was persistent. I thought he kept decorum, which I think is the most important thing.
I agree with you.
And, you know, and sometimes you have to let some guy run off at the mouth because that's just what he's going to do, right?
You can't stop him.
It can't stop him. So I thought what Hillary said, you know, when somebody was saying, what do you think was the most important thing they said? I thought when he said she has no stamina,
I thought
her response was really touche. You know, terrific.
He walked into a cement truck there. That was
I know. And the other thing about him, and I think, you know, I'm from a Republican family, though I'm not a Republican. My brother's a retired general who is not going to be voting for Donald Trump. The other thing about him is you don't even see what you're going to get. And that's why the Republicans don't want him. He's a rogue.
Yeah.
He's a demagogue. And he's not who he appears to be.
Yeah.
He may be a lot more liberal than he appears to be, but he's appealing to a certain demographic. And they like it the way he is. It's interesting. It's a very interesting race.
You're a very bright woman. I want to make two comments. One, get the app, the WAMC app. It works anywhere in the world. Just go to the App Store.
Oh, I have it. I have it at home in Vancouver. Oh, yes, it's on every day.
Exactly. Donna, we love you, and thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, we'll go to Bill in Rather Not Say. That's where he lives, in Rather Not Say. Okay, Bill, you're on.
Alan.
Bill in Rather Not Say, you're on.
Alan.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book called The Making of Donald Trump by David Johnston that explains the behavior of Donald Trump during the debates and elsewhere. As a doctoral student in psychology, I've made it a hobby to study sociopaths. And Donald Trump fits the bill.
How so? Why?
Well, if you read the book The Mask of Sanity by Michael Cleckley.
No, get to it, Bill. You're the student. You're telling us he's a sociopath. I want to know what the definition is that you think he fits so neatly into. Don't cite books. Just tell me what you think is the indice here.
Well, The Making of Donald Trump explains how he wheels and deals. He doesn't pay his taxes. Everyone that ever works for him seems to get the short end of the stick.
Well, does any of that make him a sociopath?
Yes.
Why is that?
By definition, sociopaths have no feelings of guilt, remorse.
Interesting. Okay, I am opposed to diagnosing people, when we don't know them. I think we have to leave that to the professionals. But I appreciate your call, Bill, and I respect you for making it. All right, let's go to Malene in Niskayuna. All right, Malene, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm an African-American, and you mentioned earlier something about Donald's trying to get 2% of the vote. With
anything.
His performance that he did last night, I don't see that is going to happen. I mean, law and order. So he's talking about more of the same of what people are experiencing in some of those communities. Mm-hmm. He's the oppression, the ineffectiveness of interaction with the police. So doing more law and order is not going to be effective, and it's just going to make people more untrustworthy. So,
you think it's a code word? When he says law and order, do you think that's a code word for let's keep the blacks down in their place?
You said it. I mean, given
no,
his...
No, I want to know if that's what you're saying.
Well, I mean, it could be. I mean, given his history...
Because I certainly
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, given his history, he brought up the housing thing, and he kept, you know, he never said we weren't, he just kept saying, well, we never admitted guilt. So, but you're not saying you weren't guilty, but you were saying, you know, so he was, I think he was all over the place. And I think if there's any African Americans that vote for him, I think they're completely lost and kind of need to reassess. But because based on his performance yesterday, he did come off as very racist to me.
Clarence Thomas, I want to remind you, is African-American. So somebody buys the line. Malene, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Ellen from Buckland, Massachusetts. Ellen, you're on.
Yes. I am speaking for all of the Bernie supporters who feel like they need to go right over to Hillary Clinton. I don't know, but I would like to know the chances of Trump winning in New York State or in Massachusetts. Because
I think that's
it looks like
that's I think what? That's a zero. That's zero. I think the chances
zero,
are zero.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it looks like Hillary will win, and I do prefer her over Trump, let's look at Jill Stein's issues. Jill Stein is bringing up what Bernie Sanders did, and Democracy Now! Has an actual, if you go there for today, you will get to hear Jill Stein and how she presents what.
Well, you don't have to go there. You could go right to WAMC.org and look up at my conversation for 1 hour with Jill Stein. Ellen, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. Now let's go to John in Saratoga. John in Saratoga, you're on.
Hello, Mr. Short Talk. How are you doing today?
So far, so good.
Well, that's good. My comment was so I'm a Republican. Donald Trump was very embarrassing to the Republican Party last night on my standpoint from what I saw. And what I was going to comment about Hillary is last night she sounded more human without a teleprompter.
She did.
Whenever she's in front of a teleprompter, she has no emotion. She's very robotic when she talks.
I agree with you.
I think if she was like that for the whole entire time up until now, I think she would have got more attention, more positive attention than what she's already got.
No, I agree with you. I was just watching on the CNN. They were doing a speech that she was giving in North Carolina. She actually got a tear out of my eye. She was good. No teleprompter. So I think you're right.
I agree with the North Carolina.
Now, I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
You know, you're a Republican. You're going to vote for her or you're going to vote for him?
So I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump at all. He is just outside of the box and what really needs to get done. And his thought process really would not work for any nation. So I don't know why people agree with that. What I look at now is I've been reviewing Joe Stein and Hillary Clinton. Gary Johnson, just his Aleppo comments kind of disturbs me a little too much. So Joe Stein and Hillary Clinton are the two ladies I'm looking at. So
but you're a Republican. You're an ordinarily Republican vote. So
100% Republican several decades.
So what I would say to you is, just as I said to the Democratic lady before, if you vote for Jill Stein or for anybody else, that is a vote for Hillary. Don't you see?
That is a true statement. However, though, you should still vote for what you believe in and think is the best for the country.
Okay.
Right now, that research I'm not done with.
John, I'm so sorry. I have to let you go. We are out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank Terry and Peter and Jeff and Helen and Ernest and Lisa for their calls. They're not getting on today, but they are good people, and I appreciate the fact that they made the effort. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, Exams Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now New American Made Frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. Interim Healthcare for 45 years, working to help people in place. Companion aides and nurses 7 days a week. Serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls at Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. TJ's Rental and Party Plus. Owners Jim and Tamara Falcone, providing tool and equipment rentals, tents, bounce houses, water slides, and party supplies for events. TJTaylorRental.com. And Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom design panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the astounding Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Ray Graff. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.